Oh yeah.
I guess we should just talk about
everything
about the thing that's unavoidable at this point. Mm-hmm. So I got in a motorcycle accident.
Pretty cool though.
Not worth it to say it. Not at all.
Wasn't that your first time riding Alexis's motorcycle?
Yeah. It was the first time that I rode on the back of a motorcycle one time, when I was 17, but just down the road, just in a neighborhood.
You'd literally only ridden on a motorcycle one time before this.
I mean, I'd driven dirt bikes and things before, right?
Okay.
I grew up in the country, but dirt bikes are different than street bikes and just in flavor and
it's also just different being
surrounded by cars. Yeah. So but yeah, other than that, I'd only been on the back of a sport bike that one time for maybe 100 yards down just to ride on the back of my friend's motorcycle. So mm-hmm. this is my first time on the back of a real bike. And mm-hmm. we had a half hour drive to this pizza meetup and back.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we were less than a mile probably away from her house.
Oh, the back to the house.
Uh-huh. No. Yeah. We made it all the way there and it was fine. I really got into it and it was fun as fuck, dude. Yeah. Here's the thing.
They're fun.
Once I got, because I was so worried about crashing beforehand, but I was like, that's just your natural paranoia, trying to keep you safe. This will totally be okay. You don't have anything to worry about. Here, I'll hand you.
Yes, it is your natural paranoia, but also they are statistically pretty dangerous.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've done dangerous things before, dangerous sporty things. This is a very bougie thing to say, but it's when you're skiing and you're going really fast and down a difficult run or something, and you have this voice in your head that's oh hey, this is really dangerous, you probably shouldn't be doing this. But then you have this other voice in your head that's yeah, but you're a competent skier, you know what you're doing, just breathe and stay calm and you're gonna be fine, right? So I thought that
I didn't have that voice in my head either of times that I went skiing because I wasn't a competent skier.
Oh, it was just
panic. And
then
panic. I got a concussion. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's what it's like for me.
Yeah.
But so I was we're just going to we're just doing this, right? And after being on the bike for a second, I got on board. I was okay, I dig it. I'm having fun. Here, put it over here where we can both reach it. I was having a good time on the back, right? And mm-hmm. it was and then we're at this motorcycle meetup, and I was looking at all these bikes.
Oh,
and
the pizza meetup was for biker chicks.
Yeah, not just chicks, just biker people.
Biker peeps.
Yeah, and so I'm just sitting there.
That's funny.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting there looking at all these cool motorcycles, and I'm just dude, all these
getting home motorcycle positive.
All these cool girls are riding motorcycles. Maybe I'll get a motorcycle. I'll just save
that
up
was
for
the
one,
universe's way of saying do not get a motorcycle.
Bitch,
you can
stop.
Be friends and lovers of bike people, but no.
Yeah,
it was probably your fault that y'all got into the accident. You probably leaned wrong or something.
No, it actually wasn't our fault, thankfully.
No, just yours specifically.
Oh yeah, I brought it upon us.
You probably did something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I got into a motorcycle accident, and on the way home, right before we got home, and we hit the back of this truck or whatever, glanced off this truck or whatever, and then it was wild because I just remember being this is happening, God damn it, and then all of a sudden I'm rolling across the ground, and then I'm just my head hits the ground, and thankfully I had a helmet on, and I remember just looking up and seeing across that stereotypical shot you see in fucking movies of just staring across asphalt and headlights down mm-hmm. the road, and I was just oh fuck, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat up and got off the road, and someone was do you need anything? I was I need someone to get this helmet off me. I mm-hmm. can't. I had gloves on, and mm-hmm. so they got the helmet off me because I thought I was gonna vomit.
Yeah,
The adrenaline in the helmet. I was like, "Bitch, I am not
this
doing
not my
this."
Fetish.
Yeah, not again. and so this dude helps me take my helmet off, and then I'm sitting there and I'm answering questions. The EMS come, the cops come, and I'm talking to them, and for me, I'm going at heart, am a comic, just can't get away from it, and so my way to not pay attention to the situation isn't just to make jokes about it, but it's to be as jovial as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Just I am chit chatting away with these EMS people and mm-hmm. making them chuckle. Right. And
y'all listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I know. And so, and they were all fucking super cool. This lady that was working on me was amazing, like, you know, like, at just, there's a lot going on with this whole medical thing. Cause servants. I was like, immediately, like, I knew something was wrong with my arm, but like, I didn't know what. And I thought it might just be bruised and, or just like fucked up and like, you know, but not broken. And so, like, they get done asking me questions and I'm like, hey, y'all, do y'all mind? Can I leave and go use the bathroom up in, because we wrecked right in front of this hotel. I was like, can I go use the bathroom up in, like, this Best Western? They're like, yeah, sure. You're done with us. You can do whatever you want. I was like, okay, cool. So I like go up to this like Best Western and I'm like in this like makeshift like sling that they just like did, you know, just like tied a piece of cloth around. And then like I've got an ice pack on my shoulder and like a big bandage on my back from where I've got like this like road rash. And I walk in, there's like these people sitting in the lobby at this Best Western, like talking, having a good time, and I just like disheveled,
oh my
like,
god, disheveled, you know, trans like, girl, disheveled with
trans
sling.
Girl arm and sling, like fresh bangs that are all fucked up because they've been in a motorcycle
panic.
Helmet
are you panic walking, are you at that
no
speed?
I have to walk slow. I'm like kind of like slowly shuffling,
keeping it in,
yeah, because it hurts so bad. But like what was happening,
like at
was
what
like,
point did you have to
well oh, so okay. What was happening was like halfway through them talking to me and asking me questions, I was just like, oh, no. I have to take a shit.
Yeah.
I had to take a shit so bad.
Adrenaline shits.
Oh my God. This is an adrenaline. Yeah. I was like, this is the adrenaline flushing the shit from my body so I can run faster to get away from the danger.
Yeah,
right.
Like when you take an Adderall or something.
It's no, dude. No, I've had different types of panic shits before and nothing like this.
Sure. Like, but I'm just saying, like, I'm, that happens to me a lot. Like comedy back in the old days, especially, or like, the kind of, any kind of speedy drug. Like, I'm like, gotta go poop, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I get to this Best Western and I blow up this Best Western. I mean, everything in my stomach just like, no, it's semi-solid.
Semi-solid.
It's
semi-solid,
okay. Semi-liquid, right? It's a 50-50 mix. It was really just like whatever was in my body was about to come out. And so
how big was the pile though? It was this like your most poop as well?
No, it wasn't the biggest I've ever done. Okay. I didn't
you just
have
said
a ton.
You were very cleaned out.
Yeah. I mean, well, so I sat in there for like 15 minutes and then like, you know, like I went back outside to like go talk to Alexis and like see what the deal was with like, how are you feeling? Cause we hadn't talked yet.
Yeah.
I just like had to go shit so bad. Like after answering their questions, I was like, I'm fucking done. So I come back down, I sit down, I talk to her.
Got a wipe with your left hand.
Yeah. Oh, it was painful. The whole process of just like having to get undressed and dressed, like pull your pants down and up and button with one hand, like after getting fucking knocked the shit out of you, like
three broken bones and your.
Well, yeah. So we don't even know that yet.
Right. But you still had three broken bones and you're wiping your left hand.
So I go back down and talk to her for a second and then it hits me again. It's like, you're in untouched shape again.
Oh my
like,
God.
Right
so,
now.
So I just hope someone saw that happening.
They did.
That,
that family was still sitting in the like lobby. And so I back in and go
hot
back
mess
to the bathroom.
Girl clearly taking a second.
Oh, it hurts.
Visibly
to laugh.
Going back for seconds.
Oh, it hurts so much to laugh. Oh, God. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's hilarious. Oh. And I was like, and here's the thing, each time they were laughing and having a good time until I came in and then just went dead silent until I like walked through the lobby. So then I take my second panic shit. And while I'm in there, Alexis's friends who had come to pick us up, like knock on the door. And I'm like, I didn't know that at first. I was like, hello, hey, who is it? And they're like, oh, it's so-and-so. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, we're just here to get the bike and to like help y'all. I was like, all right, I'll be out in a minute. Just and it took like another like 15.
Oh my God. This is like every day of
like,
my life.
It was like a long panic show. Just like, cause I wanted to be sure it was all fucking done. Cause I didn't want to like be in the car going wherever we were about to go and like get hit with, you have to shit yourself.
I know.
Right
and I'm
now.
Sure that was like a super, super, super bad one. I'm just telling you, like, this is kind of what most of my poops are like 15 minutes.
That's
dude, I don't even take like breaks at work a lot of times because it's just like, sorry guys. I know I was gone for 15, 20 today. I'll just skip my break.
This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old boy lesbian, for now. and we're bringing you the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. You can follow us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/genderfluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all. Essentially, like, you know, we both said we didn't want to be taken in an ambulance to the hospital. One, because I wasn't sure if my arm was really fucked up at that point.
$14,000.
Yeah, and two, I was like, I'm not going to pay for that. Like, yeah. I'll have someone. I feel like I'm not, if it was my neck, fucking, like, take me now. But, like, if it's just this arm thing, I'll get it figured out.
So, like, I feel like even with the EMS, I would be on the road with broken arm being like, hey, do y'all, I'm not paying for that. Y'all charge for this because I didn't call you.
Yeah.
I don't need medical attention.
I was tempted because I do have all these medical fetishes, right? Yeah, and like riding in the back of an ambulance is kind of one of them. And the EMS people that came and picked me up weren't unattractive. And so
that's
like,
probably why these insurance companies don't pay for it all anymore, you know, or why they charge so much is because so many people just wanted to ride in the back of the ambulance for fun and because the EMS people are hot.
Yeah.
And we all have medical fetishes. And so they had to start charging more because everyone was abusing it. Now you got to Uber your way to the.
So I didn't do that. So the people came and they took us to the, our friends came and they helped move the bike and then took us to the ER, and we get to the ER and, like, I don't know what priority system they use to judge people as they come in, but they saw us and they were like, all right, we're going to get you back there. It was like, we were in a motorcycle accident. Something's messed up, like, in here. And, like, I'm trying, I was like, also, do you have anything I can have to throw up in? 'Cause I feel like I'm about to vomit. And so, like, they took us to the back and, you know, we got separated, went to different rooms, and, like, we both had, like, good experiences, but the wildest, I mean, this whole thing has just been a trip, like, so far as gender goes too, because, like, some, you know, like, they, like, when they saw me on the scene, like, it took them a minute to realize that we were trans, right?
What do you think they thought at first?
They just thought we were, like, cis girls. I'm pretty sure. We were looking fucking so good. We were such a hot.
So you're saying that it was, like, just unfolding
couple.
That they're.
Yeah. Because, like, they, like, the dude, like, EMS people didn't, like, touch me at all, hardly. It was, like, the ladies that were mostly, like, working on me. And then, like, and then, like, when they finally, like, asked for our IDs and got our IDs and found it, it was, like, a slow unfolding, right? Well, Alexis's ID is, like, she's a female. Uh-huh. She's got the F on there. I haven't changed mine at all. It still says Kevin Austin Smart, right? And so,
I love that. You know, these little people are, like, playing their little detective games in their mind. Like,
yeah.
And, like, in this one, but maybe she hasn't changed hers yet.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, it's just, like, funny to watch, like, how different people encounter that and, like, gender you in those situations and, like, what they kind of figure out. Except I, you know, at this point, I genuinely don't give a fuck. I'm like, I just want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Like it would, like, if I had had my name changed, I'm sure it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like, Alexis got she'd the whole time, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Right. It was just, like, start to finish. But, like, since my, I had this, like, Kevin, it was like, they were just like, and what's your patient name? And, like, it's Kevin. You know, it's like, I'm not fucking around with an explanation right now. Like, I just want to get treated and, like, get my shit taken care of. But, like, you know, my attendant, like, was, like, smart enough. And, like, so, like, he just naturally kind of, like, the switch to she.
Yeah.
Right. And, like, it was interesting to watch, like, doctors and people like that, like, pick and choose, like, what pronouns to use. Right. Because, like, some people would just use he, him, like, because it's, like, at this point, you know, especially once I'm in a fucking, like, gown and, like, my hair is all fucked up, it's like.
But they could also, I mean, if you are not, if you are saying Kevin and you're not really, like, telling them, they could also think that maybe it's like, wait, is she a drag queen? Maybe he's a drag queen.
I know.
And he's on a date with a straight, you know, like, I'm saying, it's like,
there's
who knows
so
what story was in everybody's mind.
But it was just really interesting. It's like, at no point in time was it ever, like, a negative thing though. Right.
Yeah.
So it was never like, it was never questioned. It was never, like, a problem. It was like, no one really treated me differently because of it, which was kind of interesting, right? Because what I was getting to see was, like, people just in doing their job, like, trying to make the best of a tough situation,
right?
Like, so far as, like, figuring out what to say and how to address somebody.
Yeah.
And I could have made it better by being like, hey, I'm trans, I do prefer she, her, but it's
have
like
an announcement.
All I'm thinking is, like, fuck, my arm hurts. Yeah. Just give me drugs.
I don't care what gender I am.
Yeah.
Either right
I don't,
now.
It doesn't. Thankfully it's not a big enough issue to me to where I was going to be, like, emotionally, like, traumatized over that. I was just like, as long as you're, like, not being weird about it. Like, yeah. no one acted weird about it at all, or like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and like, yeah, it was great. It was kind of like, cause that was like a worry from my head for a second, right? As we were going to the hospital, I was like, okay, shit's about to get real as far as the gender thing goes. Cause like the EMS people out in the field, that's a fucking small encounter and then they're gone. But like, I'm fixing to be here for a while and this is going like through insurance and like, I'm going to have to be talking to doctors. Like, what if I get a fucking like nurse, you know, like emergency room nurse that like doesn't like trans people? Like, shit. Like, that's going to be so fucked.
It sounds like,
right?
If anything, it might have been better that you were trans. You said they watch you in right away. They triaged the trans people.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know, because it is, like, legal to refuse, like, help
yeah.
the trans people.
But yeah, but I think most people, especially if you're in a field like medicine, it's like, presumably most of these people do want to help.
Yeah,
people.
I know, but like there's a reason they're putting all these religious liberty laws into action, right?
Yeah, y'all were kind of so out.
It was, but it's just, that's the real side of that, right?
But where
it's
like, was the hospital in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, like, look, for us, chances are it's going to be fine because we're in a hospital yeah. in north-ish Austin. Like, it was up near like St. Dave, near the Domain. It's like North Austin Medical yeah. Center, St. David's.
I don't know if y'all were out east still.
No, and like, yeah, but that's the thing, is like, that's one of the reasons we chose not to go to the hospital with the EMS people. I was like, I'm not going to a hospital in Manor.
Yeah.
I'm not like putting my faith in like those people, which sounds shitty, but it's like Manor's not
been
far
a
out of
experience.
Austin. Yeah, but
who
it's
knows?
Like, but I trusted the one in the
yeah.
city more.
You can definitely,
to like,
yeah. Austin is a pretty good city.
Be on the up and up, right? Kind of, and like, yeah. So, but it was great. And I mean, you know, so. And the people that took care of me by and large were pretty fucking attractive.
That's nice.
Yeah. And which made it like really easy for you to distract myself by like constantly like flirting and making jokes, like not mm-hmm. like sexual flirting, but like, I'm like, I was definitely like trying to keep my head working and not focusing on the pain by like
yeah.
everything they did. It was like, thank you so much. Like, you're just like, I'm fixing to compliment you on everything. Mm-hmm. So like, you want to give me more mm-hmm. of whatever you're going to do. You know, I just want as much help as you can give me. Mm-hmm. You can do no wrong. Right. And so like, just like complimenting them, saying thank you all the time, like constantly like making cute small talk and like asking questions and like making jokes and cracking jokes. And like, not one person came and saw me that didn't chuckle, you mm-hmm. know, it's just like, it helps to be a funny person in a bad situation. Like, people like helping somebody who's like in a good mood, even though things are shit.
Yeah, that's true.
Cause like at the end of it, everybody that worked with me, they're like, hey, we just want to say like, thank you. Like, you were like an amazing like patient. Like, you are not the normal, right? Yeah. Like, most people like that come in, like, are not
they're
like
in a bad place.
Yeah. Or just like, or like, you know, or feel, you know, people are just cunty sometimes. Some yeah. people just like don't, yeah. And so I think that really helped, because like, I even asked him, I was like, you know, they gave me like Dilaudid and some other shit. And like, I like was feeling amazing. Like, I've, as a drug person, have always been curious what those prescription mm-hmm. narcotics are about. Right.
Yeah,
like,
you're
never
save one for when you're sober.
I've never tried, I mean, like, cause I've never tried like, I'm not a big opioids person. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not big on pills.
They're fun, but for me, it's just like, I've done it a few times and it's nice,
yeah,
but you know,
but I was,
you can get
but
addicted.
I was in the hospital and I was like, yo, I'm like legit hurt. Like, I think I'm about to get some good drugs.
Yeah.
And so then I got to have like this fun experience of like being like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy just kind of being fucked up in the hospital if
totally.
I can. Like, at least it's I can like observe this experience and get some enjoyment out of like the answers I'm about
later.
To get. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so like, oh yeah, I'm definitely getting off on this later. Like, there were some moments that I was like, like them having to help me get in my gown. They're like, here, we'll try and like keep you modest. I was like, I don't care. I could not care less. Like, let's just get this. Let's fucking do this. Cause it's yeah. gonna, you know, mm-hmm. and it did hurt. And like, I think I'll be able to sexualize the pain eventually.
Yeah.
I'm too close now, but like, it's
yeah,
not a possibility. Yeah. That was
we'll
fucking
help you keep modest. No, no,
no, no,
no,
no
need.
Need. I need the, I need,
get
if
it.
I can get this as close to real as I yeah. can, or as much my dream as I can, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But that's yeah, and great. Being drugged up with people like looking at you is just like a hot thing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I was flying. And then before we left though, I was like, hey, like, you know, so I'm going to have to get these prescription pills tomorrow, and this is going to wear off before I like wake up. Like, mm-hmm. is there any way you could like give me one for the road, like mm-hmm. give me some now to like leave on. Mm-hmm. And the attendant was like, and he like looked at the doctor, and the doctor was like, yeah, give her a roadie. And I was like, oh, see, and that's where being cool to them yeah. comes through, when they give you an extra yeah. shot of,
well, that's one less for the nurses to take home.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, mm-hmm. it was,
well, that's nice.
It was great. I mean, yeah, that really helped too, because like then we went to like the 24-hour HEB to fill prescriptions, but
yeah, whatever.
It sucks, because like I was like, I've been like mega horny ever since, because like riding on the back of the bike, like yeah. I got so fucking turned on, and I was like,
make me horny too.
Well, I was just like, I was ready to go home and fuck the shit out of Alexis. Like mm-hmm. we'd been on this bike, and I was like feeling like fucking like a bad bitch. I'm like, we're gonna have such good like post motorcycle riding sex. Yeah. Like,
is her bike okay?
I mean, it's fixable, okay. right? You can, it's not drivable totally, but it's not like you have to buy a new bike. Gotcha. Bad. She slid it pretty well.
Gotcha.
But yeah, but so I went from like legit thinking about fucking her. Like that was what I was thinking about the moment before we hit, was like, yeah. we're gonna fuck. And then bam. And she then so I, and too. I haven't gotten off since. Mm-hmm. And it fucking sucks, because like I can't jostle my body whatsoever. It just hurts my like shoulder. Oh yeah, I forgot. So I ended up finding out I broke my ulna, my clavicle, and my scapula. And I might have to have surgery, slash, I'm like 99% sure I'm having surgery on my ulna and my clavicle to plate them back together. Yes. So, you know, six. Yeah. I like thought about having to jerk off, because my right hand is hurt and I'm a righty. So now it's not like I can't get off with my left hand, but it's like,
well, you're about to become more ambidextrous.
I know. And it's like, I wish I'd put in my work beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Get it? So the other night, like when I came home from the hospital,
the night that you got into the motorcycle accident?
Yeah. I like, you know, my dad came and like picked me and Alexis up, or Alexis and I up, and brought us home.
Picked Alexis and me up.
Okay, whatever.
Correct yourself.
And like we get home, and like I had like tried to call Ariel, just be like, hey, like if there's any like shit laying out, like maybe like try and put it up, but if not, no big deal. Like I don't
remember
give a fuck
that
at
part.
This point. No, you didn't answer.
Oh, I know. Because I talked to you. Oh, you're saying
you
right before
that.
You got home.
No, I called you like from the hospital, but like you didn't answer.
Oh, you know, yeah.
With good reason. Yeah. And so like I was like, hey, let me go in and just like make sure everything is kind of fine. And like, thank God I did, because like I walk in and like Ariel, the girl, and another girl are just like all naked, laying like asleep on our like couch, like our pulled out couch, right? And I was just like, oh, and I turned, I was like, hey, wait out there for just a second. I was like, there are three naked people on the couch. And then I like came inside. I was like, hey, y'all, my dad's here. Could you please move to your room?
Yeah. We were all too like in that, like we had just fallen asleep probably 5 minutes before you walked in. So we were all in that like slightly delirious, like mm-hmm. what's happening right now mode. But I mean, you wake up pretty quick when Ava's dad is outside. yeah.
So y'all had a threesome?
we did. The girl, Ariel, and I. Yeah, we did Molly together on Saturday night at the that party. And like each combination of us made out in turn. And then, you know, we each had our little connection, and then Sunday and Monday. And I swear there's something in like that afterglow of Molly too, that I often get, where I get very sexual, very like, just, it's really the perfect place for sex stuff for me. I was just like very tired each night, but still basically, you know, these women just seduce me and convince me into having a threesome with them for 4 or 5 hours.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I mean, it was really my first threesome. Like, I had done stuff with like me and like my first girlfriend a couple years after we had broken up. She had a boyfriend, and like me and that guy drunkenly did some stuff to her, but it wasn't that long and no one's doing stuff to me. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And another kind of foursome thing, kind of like that.
Threesome.
This is my first threesome where it was just like, and really from the get go, it was like, once we'd been hanging out and stuff, but then once the neck kissing started, like,
all bets are off.
30 seconds later, I swear to God, all three of us are just naked in a pile fucking each other simultaneously. Like, in every con, and no, who immediately, it's like, I don't even know whose hand that is, and I don't care. Oh, no, I do know, you know, but it's just like, just so, it was so fluid. And Ariel had never had a girl threesome. So that was just like, cause she's had like, you know, guy, girl, you know, how people are, and she's 23. And so, it was awesome to be like experiencing that with her for the first time too. You know, here's this person who's very differently, like, you know, she is bi. And so like, it was fun to get to have, you know, I think of her as a very sexual person who's probably had all kinds of experiences, but that she'd never had that before. And it was such a beautiful, and I don't think the girl had ever had anything quite like that before either, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just awesome. And I didn't have any sense of jealousy at all, which, you know, is how I assumed it would be. But it was just like this beautiful, hot, and Ariel's, both of her nipples are pierced. And then one of the girls are, and mine aren't. And then like Ariel and I have, our names are spelled the same, A-R-I-E-L-L-E. And so like getting to like kind of say my own name in bed and like hear the girl say both of our, and it's just like, oh, and watching the girl have fuck someone else and go down on someone else who does, because I don't really come, you know, it's like my coming is a whole thing, and it's, you can't really, but so just getting to watch her make someone come and getting to see her like just be so good in bed in those traditional classic way, you know,
yeah,
it was so hot and fun and wonderful, and like something that I wouldn't get to experience, at least not right now or maybe ever in my life, if it weren't for some openness to group sex stuff.
Yes.
I know. It was so hot, dude. It is the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life.
This is like a momentous kind of occasion, like especially in terms of like the gender fluid narrative. Like if we like listen to you, like when, where we started this shit, and like to where you are now, where you're like, I'm like really open to the idea of group sex situations now. And it's like,
dude,
yes.
Oh my God. So at one point, because
we've won,
you know, at one
change is possible.
It's just so beautiful. It's just so great that like her, we have the same name, so that I get to feel like everything. There's always all these twin dynamics of like things that Ariel and I have in common, and then things that Ariel and Kate and Ariel and the girl have in common.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, just like twin fantasies playing out, and like both of them are just like coming machines, and like, and so I'm just like, and like one of the first things that happened was the girl fucking both of us at the same time, and that kind
we're
of like side by
your
side
back next to each other. Isn't that the best? See, that's what I was talking about. Like when Adrian was fucking Jess and I on our backs next to each other, and it's like,
what?
Two brunette trans girls getting like finger fucked by like, it's hot as shit.
And the girl and Ariel both have like long darker hair, like long brown hair, and the girl's like straightening it some, but like they both really have curly hair, and like there's just, because that was at one point when we were on the Molly, and like, and Ariel and I were talking together and connecting, and I think before we made out, maybe suddenly I looked at her from this one angle and I was like, oh, you look like the girl. And like, it was probably then that we started making out, you know? And it's just like, I love, it was like finding this universal love for,
you finally found someone you had chemistry with in like a genuine way is what it was. And all the vibes were right and everything fell into place. It's like people like go out and try and manufacture threesomes, and it's really hard.
It's all about
to.
Chemistry. The chemistry just has to be there. At least from, you know, for it to be enjoyable and wonderful and like something that you want to do for 4.5 hours. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. So then they had both come a bunch of times, and then at some point the attention got turned to me, and I had that sense of like, oh no, they're going to want me to come now. And it's just like, the pressure of that, I just can't like, I was like, I don't know, because I don't know if it's going to happen with someone new, and I didn't want to get in my head about like the pressure to make it be this like magical moment. I just immediately was like, I just can't have this attention right now. But it was really great because they were both so understanding. I mean, the girl knows me, but then Ariel was just really like accepting. She's a really, seems to be a really accepting person and like open and like okay with vulnerable and weird, you know, kind of interactions, I guess. And then, but then at some point when it was like, okay, yeah, maybe I will, you try to come. I was like, okay, I want the girl to be on top of Ariel. And then they like were like grinding into each other when I was like using Ariel's leg for my purposes. And then so watching the two of them like just be in sync, because again, they both come well. And so like getting to like just grind into each other in that way with them coming, I think at the same time. And then the girl being on top and like seeing her in that kind of candlelight, like just that golden and her hair and then just like her boot and the whole, and it was the hottest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like when you said like getting to be in porn, like, yeah. And feeling like, who is directing this? I was like, I think about it probably once every 17 minutes. And ever since that night, I just like, it's just, I think about it and I just moan in life. And then, so it was like right after they came, like literally 3 seconds later, while they're kind of in that, then I was able to come and it was just like, oh, right. This is me and my like, now that they're distracted and they're not paying attention to me, I can come. Just kind of like the way, like someone, when I'm finally alone in the restroom, you know, last person leaves and my shy blood, you know, and now I can pee.
Yeah.
It was like exactly that. They're distracted.
And you can like,
and yeah. And I just had, and it's also like self-serving in a way. My shy bladder allows me to have more time in the restroom, which is more time alone, like Asperger's recharge time, as we've said. And this orgasm, like, honestly, it's like, dude, I just got to watch like the hottest thing in the world and just be like a part of that, but also just watch it without anyone, you know what I mean? Like that pure voyeuristic pleasure. And now I can just, it's like finishing up the porn and then I came, you know?
Hell yeah.
Anyway.
I'm so happy for you.
One day I would
you.
Like to come in sync with other people, but.
And while that was happening, I was in the ER.
Hey, you went semi-loose.
I'm happy for you.
Knocking on wood that I don't get into a horrible maiming accident anytime soon.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with some more fun shit. Hey y'all, thanks for listening. If you like the podcast and want to leave us a review, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review like this one.
I enjoyed the review from Creamy Pussy, 5 stars. It's called Oh Yeah, Just Like That. Excellent and thought-provoking content that can make anyone, no matter what your fetish is, feel a little less alone and a little turned on. Wink.
Perfect. Give us more stuff like that.
Yeah.
Head on over to Apple Podcast and drop us a review. Thanks. I'm pretty high right now. Well, yeah, so I'm high. I'm like stoned high right now. And for the last week, I've been like, you know, last time we recorded, I had just broken my like bones,
mm-hmm.
all my bones.
All of them.
And like I'm have been pilled the fuck out on the couch, just like in pain for a week. And like finally have like cut the painkillers and I'm like just like smoking weed and eating, nibbling on edibles to like, you know.
Dude, I saw this 250 milligram edibles. How's that?
No, it's 250 milligrams total. They're 10 milligrams
apiece.
Oh,
I was like, what the fuck?
No.
Damn.
The little 10 milligram gummies I've been just like snacking on.
I was going to say, what is happening to people's tolerance in these legal states? Jesus.
Getting fucking zooted, man. No, but so I have eaten a couple of those this morning and just like smoked a bowl. So the shit hurts, but like I can't fucking do anything on painkillers. You know, I've never really fucked with pills before, right? Like it's never been my thing. Like this has been an interesting experience, just like let myself just get pilled the fuck out, both I need it and like see what it was like. And I'm not that big a fan of it. Like it could be, I could see how it could be fun if you were like, it was like a rainy day and you were like at home, yeah. with somebody and you wanted to like just like snuggle down and like, ooh,
snow day,
yeah, like,
yeah,
pop a Tramadol or something and like Yeah, I can get on board with that. But just like going out to party on them, it's like
I don't think people do that much.
I think they do. But people take them for like parties and things like that. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, for me personally, though, what I was finding was like it like zonked my personality. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I was just like passively observing the world. And, like, wasn't really able to, like, engage in it at all.
Yeah.
I was just, like, it kind of sucked. Like, I felt very, like, very present in my own body, but not present within the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was wild because I haven't been horny at all until, like, today. Like, it just, like, killed, like, all of my horniness. Like, yeah. Alexis blew me once, like, over that week. And, like, I didn't even...
Didn't come.
No, I mean, I got super hard. Like, she blew me for like 30 minutes. Like, it was a great half hour.
Your sexual response. For sure.
But it was just like the most frustrating thing. It felt like I was just on the edge for like so long. And I was like leaking a lot of pre-cum everywhere, but just like wasn't like coming.
I feel like opiates constipate both your poop and your cum.
Oh my God. That has been the other things. I haven't taken a shit all week until last night. Like, last night and then to this morning, it was like, my body is just why I've had to run back to the bathroom four times. It's like my body's finally like done, like holding in all the shit.
It's
just like, oh, it's been the fucking worst.
Yeah.
It just like makes me feel weird that I'm just like putting things in my body and nothing's coming out. And it's like, I haven't felt physically bad about it. Right. I haven't felt like, oh, I'm constipated, but like something about the world felt out of balance.
Totally.
You know,
I always feel out of balance until I take a shit. Like the way that men talk about emptying their balls. That's how I feel about pooping. Like, it's not going to be okay. I'm going to be a little on edge. And I just got, yeah.
So my whole like flirty online thing has kind of fallen off. And I mean, honestly, I think it's because one, I've been trapped on a couch all week. And so I haven't had like fun things to like post and engage with. But two, it's like I've been on a fucking couch all week. So it's been a little bit more one sided of me. Like,
yeah.
And I have no chill. I'm like on a couch pilled out. Dude. So it's just like, I've just checked out. So I'm like, okay, I'm just fucking going to bounce and be cool for a few days because like I'm trying to like, you know, get my life like started again. Like after this like week off, like it feels like I have so much shit I need to do. Yeah. And like I'm finally like cognizant and capable of doing it, and but that's gonna help distract me from like, because here's the thing, is like I love fucking flirting and chatting, and like whenever I get a new like experiment going on, or like not experiment as in it doesn't have stakes,
no, yeah,
but experiment is like I've never done this before, and so like I'm figuring this out, I get excited about it and focus on it a lot.
Yeah,
I think I've been focusing on it too much,
and then you've had too much time on your hands.
Yeah.
That's never good. You always want it, like, that's what you say, you've had no chill. It's always so much better when circumstances prevent you from being able to get back to somebody or to think about somebody too much, because then, you know what I mean? So, like, when you're, that's what polyamory can be so great for, that because you only have so much time to give these various people, you know what I mean? And you have to be engaged. So you can't just like sit there and obsess about one person, you know, or just being busy, whatever. Mm-hmm. I always find, yeah, it really helps me because I'm just, if I were left to my own devices, yeah, there's all kinds of women that I would text back way too often. And you know, even with me trying not to, but because I'm so busy and there's so many different people in my life, like, I'm like, I just have that chill built in. Thank God. Cause I have no chill.
Yeah. Well, I had it built in until a week ago.
Yeah.
And I really,
exactly. Something like that.
My chill took a nosedive.
Uh-huh. Despite being on fucking opiates.
Well, yeah, because that's why I was most chilled. I was just like, because I was on the fucking couch watching TV.
You had the wrong kind of chill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Too much chill.
Too much chill somehow circles back to no chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the fucking tail of the snake eating its own tail.
Yeah. Snake eating its own chill.
Aw. Aw, why can't snake just chill?
He's eating himself. Yeah. Well,
that's one thing I haven't tried to do in a long time.
Suck your own dick.
Yeah. I feel like I could probably do it still.
That's your next porn. Trans girl who can't get fully hard anymore. Just like mouth pawing at your own dick.
The Sisyphean task. Trying
Sisyphean.
To get hard.
I like how you made Sisyphean. It into a Sisyphean.
Yeah.
Like Sisyphean.
Yeah, no, it was right. Sisyphean.
Sisyphean. Well, anyway, yeah, but you should just like, I like the idea of you like pawing at your own dick, but you can't quite, you and your dick can't quite find each other.
I think I do that for like 10 minutes and then like at 10 minutes in, someone walks in and force feeds me Viagra. No cats.
Just 8 kittens come up.
Just start climbing on me. Oh, nibble on it.
No, just nibbling on your dick.
Just like the little rough tongues, just like licking it.
I don't know. I'm just creating my porn. It's art. This isn't porn. This is art.
When you say nibble, are you thinking like eating though?
Or well, no. Like they have their little, yeah, their little tongues, I guess. I don't know what cats even do with their teeth, but yeah. So just a bunch of little kittens coming up and like just licking your dick. Cause there's no teeth, but it's sandpaper tongue. Does that hurt too much?
It could probably be like a fine line, but depending on who you ask, you know, I might like it, I guess. Like, but a cat's tongues always freak me out. I've been licked by a cat, like on my arm a couple of times and I hate it. Mm. It feels so
sandpaper.
It feels so wrong with the world.
But that's what I'm wondering
me.
If that would be good or bad on a dick. Because I could see, I don't really understand the whole dick sensitivity thing.
I don't know.
I still don't understand
8 cats, you say, if they're all licking at once?
I don't know. Just for the art. This is for art. This,
yeah,
again,
but
this
I'm just
isn't
trying to imagine
to
the sensation. I think if I had 8 tiny little tongues, it could
be okay.
Intense.
Yeah, oh, sure.
It'd be good.
How about
yeah.
one little cat then? One little tiny kitten. That's too. That's too. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's
intimate. If it's 3 or 4 cats, okay. This is
about
impersonal.
As low as I'll go.
Yeah, we need. Okay, fine. Five kittens is maybe the ideal, where it's not
I
so intimate and personal.
No, I like.
Oh,
I
thought you were saying
like,
that was too much.
No, I like the abundance of sensation. I think that would be the thing. It's just like, whoa, so much going on, like so much to focus on.
Or what about this? Okay, because you know people get all up in arms about bestiality, but
well,
like
my idea, like I don't know how you're imagining that you're going to be on it, but I imagine this dude like kind of like a glory hole situation.
Oh, okay.
Like he's like behind a wall and he's it's kind
of
that's
a great glory hole.
It's kind of BDSM.
It's just a bunch of kittens.
You stick your dick through and like then you're like locked into it so you can't move and then a bunch of kittens are in like this little room.
There is a porn to make.
Yeah.
Okay, let's make that porn. But it's all kittens and puppies.
He doesn't know what's on the other side, right?
Yeah. You know at some point that it's 8 tiny tongues. But who can say? Like, it's so hard to tell what the stimuli is. Yeah, I think we should definitely make that. That is so cute.
Right, because the dude's like strapped, like
it's
spread
not even
eagle
wrong.
To the wall, so you
is
can't
it
move,
wrong?
Right?
Okay, is it wrong? Because the person's putting their dick through a hole, so they're just doing the glory hole, assuming you know it's just a consensual situation, and then the kittens are just doing whatever they want to do. No one's making them. We're not sprinkling crack on the dick or anything, you know. So I mean, it's I guess it's on our part that it's wrong, but
yeah. But it is like.
But
funny
if we just set up a glory hole and release kittens. Nearby,
and the kittens happen to play.
The kittens
with the
happen to play with the dick. Then I feel like we've almost removed our own culpability.
Like it's a big room. They have
legally,
room. They have room to move around in. Besides
yeah,
the dick, right?
No,
in front
no, no.
Of them.
This is not like they're in a cage for 20 years and they're bored. And anyway, they're kittens.
It's like the puppy bowl kind of thing, but with kittens and a dick.
That's the gender fluids puppy bowl. Watch for it this Thanksgiving.
No puppies, no bowls.
It'll be live glory hole that happens to empty out into a field of small animals of various species.
Oh, dude, what if we had like little ducklings and they were biting your dick with those like fucking psychotic sci-fi looking teeth? Have you ever seen like duck and goose mouths?
No.
They're fucked up, man. They're fucked up.
I'd be more interested in checking out those corkscrew vaginas.
Those corkscrew vaginas?
just in terms of like sensations that you'd want to check out with a duck, because they have these infamous corkscrew dicks and corkscrew vaginas, and it's like,
yeah,
well, what does that feel like? Just keep like not squiggly, even it's not even sexual, but just in that kind of like the curiosity of sticking, if you can stick a pinky in there and just kind of feel like a fidget spinner, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just like something to do with your hands.
Yeah,
like a little duck fleshlight, I guess. Yeah.
I could have fun with that.
We'll say fleshlight for this.
I mean, just as a dick having person, like the idea of my dick going in and then immediately taking a hard right and a hard left and a hard right kind of hurts. But like if I had a corkscrew dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that slips in together. Is it, like,
well,
is it malleable enough that like,
have you ever
like,
seen the duck dick? It's like not a real, it's not like a dick the way we think about it. It's like this weird gooey thing that like shoots out of them. It's like a very, it's like a very.
Yeah, so it slithers up into the.
Yeah.
That's
creepy as
shit.
Oh,
no,
of course.
Yeah. Well, see, if it was like hard and painful, like a painful kind of like, it's having to like break as it moves up. That I'm not into it. But if it's like a slimy tentacle, you think?
No, it's very tentacly. Yeah, you would be into that.
Fucking on board, man.
You should get into duck tentacle stuff.
Like, no,
ones
I don't
where
like,
they have 8.
I mean, I enjoy feeding ducks and like looking at ducks, but I don't don't have any sort of like,
they're not the hottest animals.
No, not really.
Not that sexually inspiring, but
even in all the egg laying things, ducks never come up.
Know? Yeah. Ducks just like, not no occupying a lot like of a our sexual imagination.
No, it's like, dude, it's a duck. Mm. It's a thing you do. Or
they kind of look mentally handicapped, all of them. You know what I mean? With that little perma smile on their faces. And there's just something, there's just something, anyway. Okay, but a different direction for bestiality talk. What about, people think about like fucking dogs, you know, and then we talk about how, well, you don't want to fuck a dog, but if it eats you out, is that even wrong? Whatever kind of thing. But then what I'm thinking is, what about like just like fucking maybe a few dogs, creating kind of a circle, like you can fuck through them just so you can enjoy the fur, like some soft fluff, like on the girl's dog, for instance. If we took four very soft little runt chihuahuas and then just, you know what I mean, made like rubber a fleshlight out of that, rubber banded them together. I can see fucking, that seems like very pleasant for a dick. I don't really know, but just for my arm, that would feel nice to just feel fur like that. And I'm just curious, would that feel good on a dick? Not that I should do it, but would that feel good?
I think if it was like, you know, like a retriever kind of fur, like a
very soft,
fluffy.
What about those kind of curly ones, like a poodley or
that could work, but it couldn't be too coarse.
Or a golden doodle.
So like you're the girl's dog, its hair is too coarse.
See, it's like medium fluff. Yeah, but we want,
that would be painful. You want.
Well, I think it depends on which direction you go, because one direction of that chihuahua hair is quite soft and then the other one's a little coarse.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, if
so
I'm
you have
thinking
to go
about
back and forth,
if I'm putting my dick in between,
I say golden
dogs,
doodle. I say four baby miniature golden doodles,
probably the best.
That's probably the best right there. No wonder they're so expensive.
Well, now we know what the rich are doing with
now
those.
We know. Well, of course they are. They're fucking kids and golden doodles, guys. I know you don't know it, but it's going to be the new scandal that comes out in a few years where it turns out they're not only fucking children, the rich are also fucking dogs.
They're
not their buttholes necessarily, just
they
their
are
soft,
rubber banding
soft, they are
rubber
together and then stuffing fucking their soft, soft fur. Because who wouldn't? If you could afford four golden doodle puppies.
Yeah, why not? Who's going to stop me?
Yeah, and it's gonna, I mean, you have to do it.
What
once
do I do within the privacy of my own home?
It's not,
none
not
of your
to
fucking business. Yeah. Oh my God, speaking of rubber bands, you want to hear a wild gender flashback I had?
Sure.
So I had a flashback to being in like the, it's hard to place where this was. I think this was probably around the time that I was like a freshman in high school. Maybe about to be a sophomore, but probably a freshman. And I figured out that like I was trans, right? But like to me, it was still science fiction. And I was like having all of these like wild, like thoughts and processing things and emotions, and like with stealing underwear from like store, like girls' underwear from stores to like wear. And like, and then one time my parents found them and threw them all away. And like, was like, you know, the, being gay is fine, but that's just weird.
Well,
because
like, you had
a
bad
whole
fashion sense, or no daughter of ours would wear this cheap, tacky underwear.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, that was fine. And so, like, in my head, I was like, well, this is just a science fiction thing. This is a thing that, like, I can never actually go through with. Like, there's no way I can ever set to find a way to compromise it. And, but I was still, I'd just gotten, like, a little iTouch, like the iPod Touch, and found out that it had Wi-Fi on it, which my parents didn't know. So I was able to get on the internet, and I was reading all of these, like, forums and blogs. And I was reading about like orchiectomies where like you're getting your balls like cut out and taken out, but like your dick stays. And I was like trying to plan like that's different procedures and things. But then during,
so you were going to get rid of your balls and not your dick.
Yeah, that was my plan. But like,
Same page.
I was like, well, it's like a halfway step. I could still like be, I could still be me like around my parents, but like it would be a lot easier for like wearing these panties I want to wear.
Get rid of the balls. But I thought the balls help you tuck your dick.
No, the balls are just always in the way. They help nobody.
Oh, really? Couldn't agree more.
At least for me, like, I don't enjoy sucking them. I don't enjoy anything about them. I wish they were gone. I like my dick. My dick's fine.
But if we could breed only the men whose balls are a little smaller and more tucked up into their body for several million years, we could really,
oh, that'd be so great.
Improve.
Anyways, so this town that I was living in when I was going through all this, like, early, like, how could I, like, fuck my body up or what could I do to my body to, like, change it to start the process of transition without anybody noticing? when I was going through all these like things and experiments, like I stole like estrogen pills from Walmart and was like just like dosing myself with estrogen for a while.
I don't know.
It was, I just looked for like
something like, that said like estrogen,
female supplements, and like that had like it had progesterone and shit in it.
So they had stuff that was over the counter or
whatever. It was just like the stuff I found on these forums that like told me like this is the closest thing you can get like without something like getting a prescription, and like you can get it from these places, right?
Yeah, for like menopause or something. Or,
yeah,
yeah.
So I was doing all that, but this is a super small farming town, and my friend had a goat farm, and she was talking about how they castrated goats. And
yeah,
the way they castrate goats is by taking rubber bands and like putting it and tightening it around the goat's dick like a bunch of times until you do on your finger kind of, and then yeah, it cuts off the blood circulation. Sure. And you just leave it there until it fucking falls off. Uh-huh. Or there might be an extra step or something, but this is I forget what the extra step after
you
that is.
You may have to get a soldering iron out at one point.
Yeah. But I was just like, I'll never forget like going back home that night and being like, I wonder if I could do that to my dick.
And dude, like, you didn't think about your balls? You thought about your dick?
Yeah. I was thinking like, I can do it to like my dick. Like, and so I like tried it for like a little bit and like would like, instead of like cutting myself, would like do this thing where I would just like take little rubber bands and like tighten them around my dick and like make it really hurt and like think about it falling off, and then take the rubber band off, because I knew I couldn't actually ever go through with it, because my parents would have to find out, and that'd be a whole thing.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's a chipper end to that, but like that memory just came back to me the other day, you know, one of those things where I was like, holy fuck, I did do that. And mm-hmm, like, but you were, when I missed rubber bands earlier, I was like, oh yeah, you want to hear a rubber band story?
Hey, did you know that the third weekend of the month is the weekend where I do both of the shows that I produce and host? On Friday the 16th is my show Backyard Sluts that I do with Candace Medina, and it is at 8 p.m. and it's at 604 Fairfield Lane, and there's food and drinks and stuff, and it is a dirty themed show, and so don't come if you're an awful person, but come if you have an awful sense of humor. Okay, and then on Saturday the 17th is the next off script, and it's going to be at 10 p.m. at the Fallout Theater, as always. There are tickets if you go to my Instagram or whatever, and that's the show where we do stand-up and you can heckle. And this time, we're going to have Pat Dean also heckle the comics. We're going to give him a microphone and let him also heckle the comics. So it's going to be extra fun, and I'm taking that show to new places. So I hope you come. Well, okay, so I was at a show the other day, and it wasn't even when I was on stage that this came up. It was some other comic, and they were talking about some fetishes or something, and some woman called, or it was like, what do you watch on Pornhub? And this girl yelled out, sacrifice porn, and everyone like turned to her to be like, go on. And he was like, yeah, the comic was like, yeah, what is that? And she's like, oh no, no. Like all of a sudden, like it was one of those rhetorical questions. She wasn't really, you know, like, she shouldn't have just yelled it out if she didn't want the attention. But all of a sudden she didn't realize what she's getting into.
And
she,
also like, I think that was a little bit of a personal slip.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit. Oh, I'm vulnerable. I'm exposed.
And yeah, so even during my set, like she was now sitting in the audience. And so then I was like, wait a minute, aren't you the sacrifice porn girl? Like, I do want to know what that is. Like, and then she wouldn't say, she's like, I can tell you after the show. And it would turn out, because like, you know, we had this whole conversation, me and the crowd, and like, it would turn out that she and I were really the only queer people there. Well, and you know, the girl in the back, but you know, there was like kind of an immediate few rows of audience. Mm-hmm. And then there were other people in like the back, and in the few rows of audience, it was like just a bunch of straights. And then me and that girl, who's, I mean, she's just, you know, she's a bi chick who's kinky and whatever. And it's like, we were the only ones who even had any like relationship to queerness.
Yeah.
Consciously in that room. And so it's just like, oh, just to this group of people, I'm not sure I want to talk about sacrifice porn right now.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, ooh, sacrifice porn. It feels like we've almost probably talked about stuff like that, but it's also like,
you might have tiptoed around it.
Well, because you know how I feel, I mean, about like the Star Wars, the Ewok people like roasting you over a fire.
So sexy. And then,
you know, yeah, like sacrificial rites like that, where someone's being used sexually and then killed for some reason, has always turned me on. So,
yeah, I mean,
I'm like way in.
It's a thing. I mean, I've never gotten into it just because, like, I don't like death involved in my porn personally. Like, it's never been, that's not my MO. And, like, that's usually where sacrifice goes. It's like someone's being killed or, like, there's, like, demons and spirits involved. And I just don't fuck with demons and spirits like that, you know? Like, that shit freaks me out IRL, and definitely don't want it in my porn. I don't like possessions. I don't like the idea of being sacrificed to a thing. The only type of sacrifice that I like in my porn is like in some sort of apocalyptic situation or some sort of space fantasy where I sacrifice myself to like save other people. I can get on that. Like, I'm like, aww, you know, like they need to escape. And so I like, you know, stay behind to like close the hatch door in some space station. But then I get like, you know, captured by a, you know, this evil monster alien that fucks me horribly and then kills me, right? Like, mm-hmm. I can kind of go there with that situation, but I don't like, you know, the whole being strapped down to a stone tablet and like you're like already, your face is like, whoa,
dude. I mean like me, I'm more just having flashbacks to my childhood where we would learn about the Mayans or something in school and I would be like, oh, can't wait to get home, see that green blanket. you know, I mean, like, I don't know why, like, I know, like, I hate death, you know, for me and my loved ones, other people's fine. But it's like, not when it's, when I was thinking about the Ewoks roasting me over a fire, or I was thinking about being tied up on some like pyramid, you know, like, so we're on some enormous pyramid and I'm at the top of that and there's some guy around, like, I'm not really thinking about death. It's hard to explain. It was just more like the scenario, the situation, it's symbolic or something. It's like metaphoric in my mind. Like I wasn't reflecting on death really. I wasn't like thinking about, oh, I'm going to die. It was just the setting, I think, more than anything. It's just like that kind of, because, and then I don't know, maybe I don't want to think of a, maybe I didn't want to think about sex. Maybe I didn't really want to think about like a man like thrusting his dick into me. And so like the knife is more of a, just like, that's something that can be hot to me. That's not like some, you know, cause I wouldn't really think about dicks inside of vaginas. I don't know. Cause now, when I would do the stockades thing, it was like, okay, there's two holes for your boobs and then one hole for your vagina. But I don't know, because I was like rubbing my clit and not fucking myself, I think I wasn't really thinking about like
getting penetrated.
And I think this is why they don't like masturbation. These people who think that like that turned me into a lesbian, because now instead of fantasizing about getting fucked by a dick, I was fantasizing about, you know, scissoring basically, stuff like that. Probably turned me gay. Yeah, sacrifice. Okay. I think sacrifice fantasies probably turned me gay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can get into like sexual sacrifices and ritual, right? Uh-huh. Like, so like if you're going to like fuck my spirit out of me or something, I could kind of get on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the idea of like being used, like being everything, used, everything yeah. up until
you're
like
completely being used when they're sacrificing.
Yeah. I like being used in some sort of ritual like that, but like actually like sacrificing me is like the part that I just can't get on board with.
That's the thing. That's what's so bizarre is, like I said, whether it was like on the tower or being roasted on fire, like obviously you're going to die but death was never a part of that. It was just the tableau that was hot to me, being roasted over a fire. Like no one ever was like, ow, I'm being charred. This, you know, it wasn't like that. It was just like, I guess CGI effects, you know, like everyone, it's just a fantasy and there really wasn't any death in it.
Interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I dig it. Sacrifice.
So it's one of those things. Like I never realized like that's that was one of my things. It's absolutely one of my things. Sacrifice stuff. You know?
It's kind of a cool
sacrifice kink. Yeah.
Yeah.
This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
I'm Janish Meeting, a native writer and comedian, and I'm thrilled to announce that my podcast, Woman of Size, has found a permanent home on the Hoo Ha Ha Network. On Woman of Size, I talk to artists, writers, activists, and thinkers about their big-ass lives, their big-ass experiences, and their big asses. Woman of Size is
plus size,
Latina,
flawed,
curvy,
baby, thick, queen,
queer,
fat, black,
disabled.
So come take up space and subscribe to Woman of Size on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. Be big, baby.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.